This is a Triple J podcast.
Look, the name says it all, really. Two mates, one chair. Fletcher Crowley, Lockie Bennett, four continents, 3 months, one wheelchair.
As the trip went on, people would reach out to us and be like, come stay with us, come do this. In Switzerland, we stayed with a family the whole time and like just lived that Swiss family lifestyle.
Their adventure kind of blew up on social media. Thousands of people watching on as Fletcher and Lockie trekked across the globe.
Halfway into the trip, this lady messaged us and she's like, oh, my best friend just lost her son to depression and she wakes up every morning like looking forward to your videos.
Making lifetime memories and really pushing boundaries in places that probably aren't the most accessible.
Do anything if you want to do it badly enough. And I think
anything in the world, no matter what it is, it's so much more fulfilling if you can like share a scream or a laugh or a giggle with someone else.
Well, they're back in Australia now and we're keen to hear from them about how it all went. So here it is, my chat with Fletcher Crowley and Lockie Bennett, two mates, one chair. Fletcher Crowley and Lockie Bennett, welcome to Hack.
Hello. Thank you.
Pleasure to be here.
How does it feel to be back in Australia?
Oh. Surreal, eh?
I think it's still sinking in. We're like, oh, we're home.
Yeah. We haven't even, like, reflected the trip ourselves.
We were driving here. We were saying, like, I think this is going to be the first time we've, like, well, since we got home that we've sat down and we've spoken about it and realised what's just happened.
Yeah. Were you kind of relieved at the end of the trip to be heading back to Australia or were you a bit sad?
I think both. We were both keen. Yeah. We were both definitely keen to come home and see friends and family and just have a break from each other.
Yeah. But, like, also, it's all coming to a wrap now. What's next, right? Like,
yeah, you need another adventure.
Yeah, well, we're already like, all right, where are we going?
I was going to ask you, actually, did you any points to the trip? 3 months is a long time to go away with a mate. So many people who've done backpacking can relate to this. Any big fights, any big bust-ups between?
no big fights. Like, I feel like you definitely go into a trip this long with anybody and you think, fuck, imagine if we get a bit like bickery, but it's just a bit.
There's obviously those days when you're tired where it's just like, oh, let's just come be able to talk to each other and it's just quiet. Yeah. But like, nothing huge.
Okay, good traveling partners then.
You definitely. Yeah,
head off on a trip.
I reckon any of my other mates, I'd be like, oh my God. But like, I don't know. I feel like we
learned so much about each other. So much.
Can you take us through what the trip was, like where you went and how long you had?
So the whole trip, like the itinerary was kind of planned through Flight Centre. We went in there and they had a sale on around the world ticket and it was like these four stops. So we went Hong Kong, we did like 4 days there and then flew to Milan, did 7 weeks in Europe and went down through Italy, then back up through Italy, went to the Paralympics, got the last day of that in, then through Austria to Switzerland and then stayed with the Swiss family there, flew to the Netherlands for a couple of days and then flew back to Switzerland and then went through France and Spain and then back to Milan and then flew from Milan to Brazil and then did 3 weeks in Brazil and then 2 weeks in South Africa and now we're home.
It's funny because the whole time frame, which was 4 days, 7 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, that was broken up into the four continents.
Yeah.
That time frame was done off the cheapest flight deals they could get. Yeah. And it actually worked really well because you obviously think there's a lot to cover in 7 weeks in Europe, but Hong Kong, you don't need longer than a week there. So 4 days was perfect. And then South America, Brazil, 3 weeks was perfect there. I feel like we both could have spent a bit more in South Africa. We both loved
South Africa. It was so cool.
Nice. I want to get into more of the trip, how you planned it, the reaction to this kind of social media presence that you've got. But firstly, I just want to take it back a little bit and get to know you two a little better. Fletcher, can we start with you? What was your life like before your accident?
Yeah, so I grew up on near Manly Beach in Sydney. Surfing, skating, mountain biking, skiing, just love scaring myself. And then I really like focused on mountain biking from when I was like 13 or 14 till 17 when I had my accident. We'd been building this jump for ages and I wanted to do a double backflip on it the whole time building it.
Yeah.
So let's give it a crack. I did like 7 tries and was like getting super close. And then one of them, I just only made one flip and ended up like landing on my neck and my like upper back and broke my T8 and 9 vertebrae, which left me paraplegic.
That would have been devastating at the time to come to terms with. Do you remember a lot from that time and how it felt?
Yeah. The first like week in when I was in ICU, it was obviously sucked and I was just in so much pain, just hating everything. But then since then, I don't know, Dad was like, just let the anger out one night and I was just there screaming his hand, holding his hand, screaming one night in hospital. And I think since then I just kind of, I don't know, everyone was like, how did you change your mindset? How did you get this mindset? And I'm like, I don't know, it's just my mindset. I've just got ADHD, one thing to the next. So I was like, all right, this has happened. All right, what are we doing now? What can I do with this?
Okay, so you didn't dwell too much on what it would mean for you going forward and how your life would look?
No, I don't remember it at least. Like I remember heaps of people telling me like, you're walking. I was like, I don't care if I walk again. I'm here now. And Yeah, like I kind of got straight into researching what you can do and all the adaptive sports and all the ways to travel and all the different opportunities that you can get from it.
And can you explain the extent of your injuries? Mm. Is that all right? And, yeah, and just so, what it means for you on a daily basis?
Yeah, so I broke my back, like I said, at T8 and 9, both those vertebrae, but my injury, I don't know, different doctors say T8, different doctors say T9. So it's somewhere around my belly button where my paralysis starts. I have sensation and movement below my injury, but like not enough to walk every day. Like I do physio regularly where I'll walk like 20 meters and I'll be sweating and absolutely wrecked after it. But yeah, like I can live independently. I can live by myself forever. Lockie obviously helps me do the stuff that isn't generically accessible.
Yeah. Pushing
I can obviously do everything to survive and to live, but to really push living and do all this cool shit that we want to do.
Yeah.
That's where Lockie comes in help.
What was the adjustment like to learning to live with a wheelchair? Was it hard?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like everyone adjusts very differently. And I don't know. I feel like I adjusted super well compared to a lot of people. Like I have an incredible family, incredible friends who have just pushed me. And like I was just starting year 12 when I had my injury. So I was in hospital for 6 months and then went back to school. And I think that helped a lot going back to school, like forcing me to be around mates.
Did it help also having, like, I saw you did a chat with Dylan Alcott recently. Yeah. Like, is there lots of people who use wheelchairs that you kind of look up to or that you look at and go, wow, they've got like a really like full life.
Yeah.
And that's the life I want.
Yeah. There was a lot of people, like there's this one guy from Melbourne called Grant, who's a mountain biker who had a mountain bike injury. And now he's really big in the adaptive mountain biking world. So like from day one or two of my injury, we were calling and talking every week, and just like the whole spinal cord world just comes together when there's like someone who needs support who's fresh into it.
It also sounds like the accident has not changed that kind of adrenaline junkie nature of you, like adventure.
Yeah.
You never want to give that up.
Yeah. No, I was saying to Dylan Alcott the other day, I kind of look at it like as less competition, like it's more niche what me and Lockie do. I think that's what's helped us so much on this trip. Like, our whole idea was, yeah, like it's so niche, like two blokes, just two 20-year-old guys traveling the world in a chair. Like you don't really see that on social media every day. And I think that
we both chase that little adrenaline.
Yeah,
high.
And it's just like, yeah. Just love scaring ourselves. And I feel like it's always easier to do now. Not easy to scare yourselves, but easier to find something unique that not many people have done before.
Yeah.
And I feel like we both bounce off. Being able to enjoy something together is so sick. It's like an adrenaline high by yourself. Yeah, but together is, oh, damn.
Enter Lockie. Lockie, how did you know Fletcher? Because you guys went to school together, right?
Yeah,
but
we went to Ballagalla Boys. I was in year above, and one of my mutual mates, who was really still very, very best mates with Fletcher as well, Leroy, Les. And then we became really close, I would say probably a year after incident.
A year and a half.
About
2 years ago from now.
I work at a spinal cord resort called Sargood, and Fletcher's going there for his physio a lot, and I would just run into him a lot. And then, from there, it just kind of clicked.
How did you become such good friends and friends enough to want to travel the world together? Because, like, you know, you've known each other for a while, but maybe not too long as close friends.
It just, like, clicked. Like, from that first night, I remember he was working a night shift and I was staying there for, like, an intensive physio camp. And he didn't have any dinner. I was like, I'll go to Woolies, get us some steaks. And then that's, like, the first time I remember us just, like, clicking. And then from then, I think you were at my house, like, the next day.
Just hanging out. What any mates would do, right?
It's kind of because a lot of my other close mates, like we've been close for like 6, 7, 8 years. Like our brains are very, very similar. Like we'll be in the car and we'll just be bumping off each other and just like talking about
similar
everything.
Similar humor.
Yeah.
Similar, we judge well together. Yeah. And like, yeah, we just do it. We love doing the same things. Yeah. Just going shopping or swimming or.
So whose idea was it to do this round the world trip or a trip together?
I did a trip last year overseas for 4 months and I loved it. I frothed it. I was ready to do more trips. I was like, oh, I don't want to do uni anymore. Let's go travel. Fletch did a season. He was getting a taste for all the travel stuff. He's done Japan with his family. Let's do it. And we're just like, let's do a trip together. I'd be so sick. We're talking about doing like a whole year somewhere at the start. I remember that.
And then it went down to like 2 weeks and then they had that deal and we were just like, oh, we'll just grab that.
Yeah. So you only did the round the world thing because that deal was on.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It popped up on our Instagram reels and we were like, oh, shit, let's give them a call.
And so when you were planning it, did accessibility come into it at all? Like, were you like, oh, this place could be more accessible, so we'll go there, or not at all?
Well, I think we thought about the accessibility of each place, but it didn't affect at all if we were going to go there.
In terms of the comms, we hadn't even booked a comm when we were on the flight. Like it was
when you were over there, you hadn't even booked.
Yeah,
anything.
Like we obviously had like the first 4 days booked because we just got off and went straight to the comm. But from what 6 days into the Europe leg, we had no comm booked.
Right.
So it was very much, I think, in terms of looking into accessibility, as much we book was pre-lease the car because trains can become a bit of issue lugging around.
Yeah.
If you probably have two less arms to carry bags.
Yeah.
And that was it. That was literally at the car in the first couple of days of the comm.
And did you regret that kind of planning tactic of just waiting till you got there to book
not
stuff?
One not bit.
No, it was
not
good.
Because as the trip went on, people would reach out to us and be like, come stay with us, come do this. Come. Like our
we didn't expect that though. That
yeah,
was
yeah,
very...
yeah, but that it kind of worked in our favor. Yeah. Yeah. In Switzerland, we stayed with the family the whole time and like just lived that Swiss family lifestyle. And it was just, we got into all different, I guess, lifestyles of people from all over the world.
Yeah, the families reaching out. That was insane. Mm. I think we had like probably five different cultural dinner experiences and learning there how to like the respects in each families and what life's like there, the laws. It's crazy from South Africa to Switzerland to Brazil culture. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I mean, you experienced so much. How did the social media idea come about? Did you decide before you left that you wanted to kick off an account and see what happened?
Yeah. Yeah. We went to we went down south.
My nan's place.
Yeah. And we like this was before we booked the trip. And we were just like, oh, let's just film a video.
Yeah.
And we knew we were going to do a trip. Nothing was planned. And we went down to Ulla Dulla. And we went for a swim. And we're just like, oh, we'll film it.
I was like, Fletcher's place isn't accessible. And then this was like early days, like starting about, let's make an account. What's the name? It was going to be Two Champs, One Chair.
It was the most inaccessible beach ever. It was like so many stairs to get down to this beach. And we just filmed
just
it.
Ramp and then
and just
sand
loved it.
And
we did that, and then we did another one there where, because I can, like I said, I can walk a little bit. Like, we tried to swap for the day, and I was trying to walk all day, and he was trying to be in my chair all day. And I think that one did pretty well, and we were, like, in shops and stuff, and my toes were dragging, and people were like, what is going on? And then Lockie would come in and try to roll out with two coffees.
And people
in
were his hand, taking the piss, like, what's this bloke in the chair? Gets up, starts standing. It's like, but it was pretty fun.
But then the one that did well was the Wet n Wild one. Then we went to Gold Coast. I think we booked it, like booked this big trip the night before. And when we went to Wet n Wild, and if you know Wet n Wild, there's stairs up the top to everything. And that one, one that kind of went big.
A physio program. And then we were driving into the physio and we're like, oh, is that Wet n Wild? And then in the car, we were snags as well. And
we should
go Wet n Wild.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how's that going to work? And that's just where the piggyback started.
I remember we got to the top and one of the guys working on the ride, he's like, stop playing games, fellas. Get off his back.
Like, what?
Yeah. He was like, thought we're taking the mic. And we're like,
because you have to get on like the scale before you get on the...
Right, okay.
And he's like, all right, you're going to put him down. I'm like, nah. And he's like, mate, stop taking the mic. Put him down. I'm like, well, he can't walk.
And what did he say?
He fully thought we were taking the piss. And we're like, you know, dead serious. Like, I can't put him down.
We probably do look like we're taking the piss off.
But then like... It got to the point where he saw your scar and then he actually realized.
He saw my big scar on my back because I didn't have a shirt on because he was me. He's like, oh, okay.
And we had a mate.
All good boys, jump on in.
Straight through.
Yeah. It's a weird one because you had our mate with the camera and then he probably thought, oh, they're doing like a prank or something as well.
Yeah.
And where was this the other day? In
South Africa.
We pick it back to this video is coming up very shortly, Lighthouse. And this lady goes, are you guys playing fun and games? And we're like,
and I was like, nah, can't walk. And she was just like, oh, okay.
So when you're talking piggybacking, it's literally Fletcher like on Lockie's back. And how does that go?
At the start, it was pretty rough. Like I was getting into this deep squat, like, you know, about to blow my legs out. And now we've got the technique down pat.
We've nailed it, it's safe to say.
And what, you're climbing lighthouses and stuff?
Yeah, just like these guys. I think the hardest...
What's it done for your fitness, Lockie?
He came back so much fitter than when he left.
Yeah. It's improved from the trip, but at the start, oh my God. That was a... Yeah, it was very questionable. Yeah, I was a bit worried about the knee after the big Hong Kong 270 stairs up. 270 says down, and he was feeling a bit sore.
He told me that next day, he's like, dude, at the top, my legs were shaking. I thought they were going to give out on me. While I'm on his back, it's raining, slippery, 270 steps down.
Do you ever feel guilty, Fletcher? You're like, oh.
No, nah, not one bit.
Fair enough.
I think we both love it. I feel like it's kind of our thing now, just finding tool things to piggyback.
Yeah. Like, we get the shits with like just the three steps. It's like, why do you have three steps? You should have a ramp at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, during the trip, what do you reckon the craziest thing that you did was? Like, what's the memory that sticks out of, like, we've gone in a bit too deep here?
Do you reckon, in terms of, like, sport, adrenaline seeking, probably the UTVs, right?
We stayed with a friend who I used to work with at a bike shop in Sydney who grew up in Brazil and now lives in Brazil again. and he had like UTVs, which is like a, it's like a golf buggy, like for full, like off-road racing, like a rally,
100 kilometers an hour,
like, on like 100 k's an hour and dirt roads. And we, I was with, I was with the guy we were staying with, Andre, and Lockie was in front driving. We just finished lunch and we were just on our way back, but it was a solid like 2 hour drive back.
Three hour drive.
And we're probably like 40 minutes in.
No reception.
And me and Andre rolled it like twice into the bushes.
What?
So I'm around this corner parked up because you got to leave space for the car behind because dust is just flicking up like no tomorrow. I'm in the corner. There's an intersection. So I'm telling, we're going to go this way. And I'm just there talking to Beer, who was I was with in the car, and just hear coming around, and then boom, like just three rolls, the 4 meter dirt dust storm.
And what happened, Fletcher? Were you off the bike? Yeah,
so, well, it was like a, so it's like a full in roll full cage.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of, so, it's like more of a vehicle.
Yeah. It's like a car, but like no windows, like no windscreen. It's all roll cage and stuff. Yep. And I was just sitting there like on, like we were sideways.
His arm out the window filming.
I had my arm out the window filming. We got two different angles of this thing.
Classic content creator.
Oh, man.
Everyone's like, how do you? I have no idea. In the video, my arm's like fully out. I don't know how I didn't lose my arm.
What was going through your head, Lockie? Were you
worried?
I reckon
I was more scared than Fletcher's in the whole situation.
Yeah.
I thought the boys.
Well, obviously, got I was rushed. In it. I knew I was okay. So I.
Okay.
For him, he would have been like, holy shit, is this guy like dead?
We
like,
It took me like 3 seconds to realize what was going on. And then trying to unbuckle and just like get out and run over to the car. Like I thought the boys had been like fully crushed. Yeah. There wasn't a single sound. Like it was just retrous car crash sound you hear. And like I was thinking, oh my God, what happened? That tree spoke through the car into one of their bodies. And so lucky for everyone to walk out of that.
It took us like 9 hours to get out of the middle of the Brazilian bush with no wheelchair, no service, no water.
It was...
What'd you tell your family? Were your family?
Well, I wasn't going to tell mum and dad because I think they have some PTSD from when I broke my back.
Yeah, I was going to say, then, like, how do they feel about like you going on all these adventures? Are they worried? Are they like, just take it easy, Fletcher?
Love the adventures, but they don't like the UTV rolls.
Yeah,
they don't like the stuff that's well, not they. Like, it's more mum kind of gets a little bit like, oh, Fletch.
Yeah, but yeah, it's one like you. You keep it a little secret till after.
But then when we were like out of service, they couldn't, like, we had our Life 360 hadn't updated in like 12 hours. And then I finally get in service and they're all like messaging me, where are you guys? Oh, wow. Like, are you guys okay? And I'm like, we're okay.
We're okay.
One UTV was rolled, but we're okay.
So that's probably the hairiest situation you got in. What do you reckon the most annoying thing was about this trip? Like, was there one place in particular that you were like, it's not really accessible at all and it's actually ruining a bit of the experience?
Don't think either of us had that
nothing,
really mindset.
Yeah, like, I would have said nothing unaccessible ruined it.
And I think we went into the trip expecting it to be so much worse. Harder.
Because a lot of the places you were going, very different to Australia. Like, you know, especially, I know you've mentioned Italy as one place that probably wasn't.
The snow probably became a bit of a pain.
Yeah, the snow. We were going through the Dolomites when there was like, the Winter Paralympics were on, so it was still like a lot of snow.
That's just one thing these wheelchair tires can't do.
Right.
And it's a matter of just weird mechanisms pushing and piggybacking.
Yeah. None of it has been like, oh, that was a mission, I wouldn't go back there.
Right.
Like Lockie said before, the annoying places are the places that have two or three steps to get in. Because it's just like, oh, it's one step where I can get up in my chair, just like lifts up the back, or I can bounce up it. But like two or three is just like, oh, that's so frustrating.
What about all those annoying cobblestones in like Europe and stuff? Were they an issue or not really?
Yeah, they were annoying, but they weren't like my legs were just jumping around and I was doing wheelies when they got bad. But they weren't like they were annoying, but I feel like I expected them to be annoying. So I just didn't really care.
There's actually a lot of pros traveling in wheelchair, I found.
What are the pros? Okay, that's good. I want to hear about this. What are the pros?
The biggest pros is the parking. Oh my God. They say, oh, the parking is so bad in this city, whatnot, mate. Front row parking with this bloke.
Everyone was like, you sure you want to get a car? The parking? And we're like, mate, don't you worry. We've got this sorted.
Having a car, you can just go wherever you want.
I reckon my own pro, I've been talking about this a bit recently, is the chair under my bag. It's like carrying two backpacks around permanently. Oh. Just loaded up with anything. And then like, I'll find like 3 weeks later, I'll be like, oh, when did I put this in there?
You know, when like,
it's literally a boot. It's a personal boot. And it's just with me 24/7.
And like going to the airport, I don't know what it is. I found this trip. Airports are scary, bro. Like, I just, oh, they're so overstimulating. Passports everywhere. And just all this stuff is going on. It's like, what? And all I do is just give Fletch something, go, yeah, check it under my bag. It's just, that bag is the lifesaver.
Okay. So, wheelchair saved you a few times just to organize everything, get it all sorted.
Definitely.
The social media following, like, you got, like, what is it, like, over 100,000 on Instagram?
Exactly. Like almost 120, yeah.
Are you surprised by that?
Like, we had faith that like it was going to gain some sort of following because it was so unique that what we were doing, like I said before, it's pretty rare to see two guys traveling
like
to Aussie.
We saw a bit of the growth from the Wet and Wild and we're like, oh, this is like, this definitely could have potential. But I think
the rate it happened was like wow. We gained like 60,000 followers in like 4 days or something.
And what are people like? Are people messaging you guys and saying, like, do they have their own stories? Are you hearing from people with disabilities themselves who are getting in touch and, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So
that's
many.
That's one thing that sucks. I feel like Fletch and I are both very people we hate, we love, if someone replies, no matter what it is, if it's bad or good to talking to us,
yeah,
we like feel obligated to, you know, talk to the person, whatnot. Mm. And I think it's just so much people reaching out. We can't reply to everyone. It sucks. Yeah. You feel so guilty.
Yeah. There's just too many to get a proper reply to. But if there's someone who's asking advice or a question who like needs it, like, I think we prioritize those ones, not the ones who just say, we love following your journey. It's made such an impact. Cause that's just, oh, thank you so much, mate. Like, we try to get to as many as we can, but you can only do so much, right? Especially while traveling.
It's pretty hard. I mean, what kind of stuff are people saying to you? Like, what are some of the nicer things that you're getting through?
Halfway into the trip, this lady messaged us and she's like, oh, my best friend just lost her son to depression and she wakes up every morning like looking forward to your videos. And we're like, holy shit.
Yeah, or like me and my newborn, like, watch your videos.
Yeah, yeah, like my kid's begging every night before bed to show you guys new video. And we're just like, holy shit.
That
we're
must
like,
feel good.
Yeah, it just reminds me of when we're little, like, you know, with the fam.
Hamish and Andy.
Watching like a show, that's what you watch before you go to bed. And you're like, no, one more ad. So you can go to bed. Yeah. But it feels like that.
Pretty surreal. Reading messages like that.
And obviously, probably inspiring a lot of people who've thought maybe, you know, big trips like that might not be open to them. Mm. But seeing you guys are like, actually, maybe I could do that. Or maybe I could. That must
be we've
nice
had a fair
well.
Few of people in chairs with other, not even just in chairs, any disabilities. Who are like, you guys have proved to me that we can travel.
And I think it would look so different for everyone else as well, though. It would, each disability is so different.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of, you know, trusting yourself, trusting your friends.
I think that's a big part of trusting yourself. Like,
yeah.
Mm.
And just, it, no matter what happens, like, the people out there, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
There's anywhere in the world you are, we've learned, there'll be someone who will help or someone who will.
And I don't think you should know what it looks like. I think that's what I get a bit scared about. I'd love to know what the future looks like. And Fletcher's very good at living in the moment. I think that's why it's so powerful, being an amazing chair user. And it's just like, you never know what it's going to look like.
I want to get into some really nice questions now about your friendship and
stuff.
I'm excited. How has your friendship grown, do you reckon, in the trip?
Oh, look, we've found, I've become really close. Like, you know, so much love and like just around the boys, mateship and everything. But I think we also found little hiccups with each other. But
that's not what I was going
to
say.
It's supposed to be a nice question. You're like, oh, there's a few things I'd change.
But that's
about
what brings us way closer at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think we're both very good at verbalizing and talking to each other about if something's not working or something. I don't know. Yeah. We hate
confrontation.
And expressing
with
your
each
feelings.
Other. We get really nervous when confrontation comes involved. Like,
yeah, but I think we've both been raised in very
open
families, where you talk about your feelings. And I feel like that, like we I do that with Lockie more than I do with any of my other mates. He knows everything about me and I feel like I know everything about him. Maybe not. I hope so. That's awkward if I don't now.
No, it definitely brings you close up. 3 months. I've never spent that long with any other mate.
Do you really feel like this friendship has helped you a lot over the past couple of years?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, 100%.
I reckon it's helped me just as much as you.
Yeah. And I don't, like this trip definitely as well. It's made me grow, I reckon. It's like, well, I hadn't really traveled without family, especially in a chair. Like, I've traveled a bit in a chair and I've traveled like a fair bit throughout my life, but never by myself or just with a mate.
And Lockie, has Fletcher, like, and the stuff that you've experienced together and stuff, like, helped you in life or changed your perspective on anything?
Oh, yeah, it's made me so open minded. And like, when I get, you know, grumpy about the smallest things, I just bring myself back to what would Fletch do in that situation? Like, you know, Fletcher just so open-minded, and his ability to just like not dwell on the small things.
There'll be one little thing that happens like with accessibility or something, and he'll be like kicking himself over.
Yeah,
I'll
like an hour, just like
I couldn't care, like
freaking out about it. He's changed my way of thinking about things.
But I think it also goes back and forth because he
just bounces.
Like they both affect each. Like he wouldn't have that without me having him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does it feel good to know that you're like inspiring other people, like another young people out there who watch your stuff?
I feel like what we've done and the impact we've had to some people's lives hasn't fully sunk in at all. I think it did when like we saw some people overseas who like recognized us. I was like, geez, we're on the other side of the world.
So that happened when you were traveling?
Yeah, that happened in like Switzerland, in the Netherlands.
On a plane.
Yeah.
In South Africa.
Wow.
Cape Town.
Yeah, Cape Town. Yeah.
And in Genoa, Italy.
Yeah. It was like, wow.
That was like
the first time. The first time in Genoa, we were like, "Holy shit, what just happened?"
Because I feel like we're both, you know, two blokes. If we see someone, we're like, "Well, look at this."
And that was like in Genoa. That was like only just a week into the trip.
We did not say.
We're like, came, she's like, "Are you guys teammates on trail?" And we're like, "No, no."
We're like, "Yeah, what have we done?"
You're like, you want us to sign something?
Yeah, exactly.
She was so lovely though. She was.
We were like, "Can we get a photo of you?" No,
we're like, "Can we get a photo?"
Insane. It was a weird feeling.
Celebrity. How's it feel?
It's a weird feeling to describe.
Wouldn't know what to think.
Yeah.
What do you want people to take away from the experience? Is there anything in particular that you hope that when they walk away from it, they see or they, you know, look at your content, they're like, oh, nice.
Do anything if you want to do it badly enough. And I think support your mates.
Yeah.
Help out.
Yeah. Yeah, your mates are...
I feel like mateship's a big thing for us.
I reckon life wouldn't be good about mates.
Yeah, obviously it's just us two, but we have so many other mates in our group who just like do just as much for me.
I'm a big person. Anything in the world, no matter what it is, I'll always enjoy it more. If it's a stranger or a mate, like it's so much more fulfilling if you can like share a scream or a laugh or a giggle with someone else.
Yeah.
Go, I think what we both learned from the trip is that
just
like,
do it.
If it's something you want to do... Go do it.
And if there's something you want to do but you don't think you can do it, you don't know yet. Just go do it and find out if you can do it. If you fail, you fail.
You might
it's
come
not
back
that deep.
Broke of spending money trying to do it. You might come back with injuries or whatnot, but just, yeah.
You guys are great on the mic. It should be two guys, one podcast. That's what I'm thinking.
We were actually thinking launching two mates, one chair and a chat.
we're at the time now. Like, we're back. It's like,
what's next?
What do we want to do?
Mm. I wanted to ask about that. Like, I know you very much live in the moment, but do you have any plans for life? Like, Fletcher, what do you want to do? Like, in terms of work or study what are your goals?
I don't know. I was thinking about becoming a teacher before this trip, but now I think our dream would be to make something of this now and try and make
the original
out of this
idea we both had, which was like, imagine we could start a company where we're both like, you know, Fletcher's more psychological mental space support, and I do physical support.
I do peer support for other youth in chairs with spinal cord injuries, youth from 12 to 24.
So imagine, like, we could bring that in, and then obviously the stuff I've learned with support caring. Imagine being able to like start a company where we could take other people.
Yeah, that'd be a
overseas.
Dream. Even if it's not a company, even if it's just one trip with a kid or a youth who's always wanted to go on a trip in a chair. And we just take one of our other mates, and obviously Lockie knows all the support knowledge.
That would be the ultimate goal, is to be able to take other people to experience the stuff that you did.
Oh, I think that'd be like,
Definitely like something we'd love to do.
It's even if it's just one trip, I feel like that'd be like, wow.
Our minds are boggling with ideas.
We don't know. We're just more trips. We're talking to some cool companies with other trips lining up, but yeah, nothing.
Yeah.
Seeing what happens.
Yeah. Are there any trips on the horizon? I know you've only been back for a couple of days, but are you already thinking ahead? Like, oh, okay, we've done that. We want to go somewhere else now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. It's definitely like where, when, time frame. Mm. I got a mate shipping and he's going to Indo with his missus. And so we got that. That'll be like a little breather. And then I think we're going to come back and we'll sit down, lock in. And that's what's happening.
Have a meeting with the mummages, we call them. Our mum's managing us.
Yeah. Through the trip, we're like, we can't keep up with these emails. So our mums, you know, they've been honestly, shout out to the mums out there. They
the
are
mummages.
They've been amazing.
Yeah.
That's good to hear. I mean, it's amazing to have a chat with you guys and to get you in because, like I said, you've made a huge impact on so many people who've just loved to see your content. And I'm looking really forward to what's next for you. So thanks for coming in.
We're excited. No,
thanks
you
for having us.
Yeah, follow along the journey. Two mates, one chair on TikTok and Instagram.
Yeah.
Fletcher Crowley, Lockie Bennett, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
For having
it's been
us.
A pleasure.